Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined for Lunch with the Coach with Coach Brian Irwin, two-time state champion of the Lamar Cougars, also coached multiple other 5A and 4A schools across the state of Texas. I guess some of them are now 6A probably, Brian. Yeah. Going to be 7A in some point in the future, I think, if everybody keeps growing. Brian, you and I, we all watched the Texas UTSA game over the weekend. I want to get your thoughts on the Longhorns today. First, I want to thank our advertiser and supporter of this, Laura Baker. Lunch with the Coach is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor, Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Contact her at Laura at Andy Allen team if you're looking for any kind of real estate in the Austin area. Brian, let's start with the offense. Came out sluggish, but the running game got going, and it felt like Roschon Johnson was the straw that stirred the drink.
Yeah, a little disappointed with how we started out running the football. I mean, we weren't moving a lot of scrimmage. The inside zone stuff wasn't very effective. We weren't running. You know, we're getting a couple yards a clip. They're getting 4 or 5 yards a clip. We're going down right where we get hit. They're falling forward for 2 or 3 yards. From that aspect, it was a little bit of a letdown and a negative. But no doubt, Roschon Johnson, he is a complete – he's a dog. I mean, the guy got us going. He had the big run. He had the big catch, followed up with the touchdown, you know, the hurdle. He is the straw that stirs the drink. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's like an alpha, right?
Yeah, alpha dog. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt. I went back and watched the game on Sunday, and I absolutely loved, Brian, the one-handed catch coming out of the backfield. Because I think that two things, not only did it spark the team, then he follows it up with a hurdle, but I think that helped Hudson Card get calm because that was a poor pass by Hudson Card. Roschon just sticks one paw up there and grabs it. All of a sudden that has a multiplier effect, right? It helps Hudson out, but then it also gets some juice to the team.
Yeah. I get the juice. And I felt like we started getting to a tempo right there when he made that one-handed catch, then he hurdles, you know, and then we score and all of a sudden we got into a decent tempo. Whereas prior to that, our tempo was not very good.
Yeah. What do you think? You've been a proponent going back to when we first started these back in August and talking about what the season looked like. You were a big proponent of what you call 20 or 21 personnel, which is two running backs and either zero tight ends or one tight end. We saw a lot of that on Saturday night from Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns. Exactly why do you think that is an effective offensive style for the Longhorns?
I think because it gets your very best players on the field. It gets Roschon and Bijan on the field at the same time. Of course, Jatavion at tight end, and then our two best receivers. There's no weakness in that package, none. I mean, you can run, you can throw, you can play action, you can screen, you can slip a back out of the backfield and get to a four vertical concept really, really easy. You can get Bijan out of the backfield, let Roschon protect because Roschon's probably a better pass protector than Bijan. There's just so many things you can do. And then once you start motioning guys out of the backfield from that set, you end up basically in 11 personnel, but you look like you're in 21. So that package is going to continue to grow. We've been so effective at it. I think Bijan's longest run against Alabama was out of 21 personnel. It's a split zone concept, and he busted it for about 16 to 18 yards. You know, what we're doing throwing the football, play action, throwing the ball to Bijan, Roschon, getting it to JT Sanders occasionally. And, of course, you know, Xavier is one-on-one now because they've got to load the box to stop the run. And you're one-on-one with Xavier Worthy.
Talking with Brian Irwin, Coach Brian Irwin, for Lunch with the Coach here, talking about the Longhorns game against UTSA. Interesting, Brian, that you mentioned about that two-back personnel because not only did it work on Saturday night against UTSA – it's what Texas counterpunched Alabama with in the fourth quarter and led to the one scoring drive there at the end of the game for Texas, or at least sparked it, if not the entire drive. Question for you that I felt, part of that process has been JT Sanders and his improvement as a blocker. Mm-hmm. He had never really blocked before in high school. I mean, he was a defensive end. He was a wide receiver, actually. Yeah. He's just a big, tall wide receiver. They put out and threw fades to a lot of times. Mm-hmm. What did you think of his improvement as a blocker? Because I saw him make some on Saturday night that, you know, I was like, hey, he's coming along here. Yeah, Gunnar Helm's probably better at that right now. Mm-hmm. But JT Sanders is becoming more than serviceable at it. And that just adds to the firepower, right?
Yeah, it does. And the thing I'm watching out of him is his body language. You know, kind of see – he didn't get many touches last night, you know, in the passing game. And I'm watching to see kind of what kind of guy is he, what kind of teammate is he. But I'm seeing him celebrate Bijan and Roshan and Xavier and anybody that does well. I'm seeing him really celebrate that. And most of his –
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Contribution to that is as a blocker. So, hey, it looks like he's bought all in on what he's supposed to do, his role. He knows he's going to get his touches. We know we've tried to get him out, you know, spread out on the single receiver side a handful of times in the red zone. Hadn't worked out yet, but we got the PI against Alabama. Should have gotten the first PI. But anyway, his time's coming with more pass receptions, but looks like a great team player to me.
Good. Hey, you think he becomes more of a factor maybe if Quinn Ewers comes back just because of ability as a passer for Ewers?
I think so. You know, having that ability to throw the ball down the middle, the seam routes, the option routes across the middle, inside or outside, the mesh concepts, things like that. There's no doubt he's going to have a big year.
Speaking with Brian Irwin, lunch with the coach. Brian, another question I had or thought – a lot of people made a big deal about the Longhorns' ability to get after the UTSA passer. Mm-hmm. So the Texas pass rush against UTSA. But one of the things I would say is that Texas offensive line did a pretty good job in pass protection for Hudson Card on Saturday night, didn't you? I mean, there's maybe two or three times he's flushed from the pocket out of the 20-plus attempts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought we protected really well. Hudson played solid. I'd say the only negatives, we just didn't connect on the deep balls. And we had a couple opportunities to splash that thing down and give Xavier a chance to catch it. And they were thrown and left a little bit too far inside. And we got to improve there. We got to make those connections with Xavier. He's getting open. And we got to take the top off of it. Regarding our pressure on them, hats off to their quarterback. He's unbelievable. And every time we got a lot of pressure on him. And but every time he escaped, he found somebody, and that left-handed throwing motion, I don't think it's the prettiest in the world, but he got it there, and he always seemed to have a receiver working in his direction to bail him out, and he put it on the money. I mean, that guy was impressive.
I thought so, too. I was thinking to myself, we'll go ahead and switch to defense now. I was thinking to myself, I was watching the game, I was like, you know, what does this guy look like if he has an NFL arm?
Yeah,
because you're talking about being able to really do some true damage. I'm not sitting here saying he's Lamar Jackson or anything mm-hmm. like that, because he doesn't have that kind of burst or suddenness. But his escapability in the pocket is pretty, pretty darn good. And awareness in the pocket.
Yeah.
The whole nine yards. I thought he was really good in that way.
Yeah, because we almost got to him a couple more times and just barely didn't get there. He makes a throw on the money or – he's escaping to his right, throws it for left-handed, escapes to his left. Seemed to always have a guy working in his direction. You know, we finally got some pressure there at the end. I think we brought the corner blitz off, and we're pressuring him pretty good. And he throws that screen back to the backside and throws it a little bit high, where Jade Barron ended up picking it and taking it to the house. That was the only bad throw I remember him making all night.
Yeah, maybe an underthrow. He had an underthrow when he had a guy deep. But that may be because he just lacks the arm strength to get it there.
True. Yeah. Yep.
Let's talk about the Texas defense as a whole. Biggest takeaways, both the positive and the negative for you for the defense.
All right, let's start with the negative. To start the game, I thought we were standing around. I was disappointed in that. We were standing around. I mean, we had guys, you know, one or two guys making plays. The other guys were watching them as they were going to the ground. We just weren't chasing relentlessly. It wasn't a frenzy. There was not a frenzy. The week before, it was a frenzy. You and I talked, I think, offline. Not that we didn't expect this. There's going to be a letdown. You can't play with a frenzy all out, you know, be out dog effort every single Saturday. It's just not going to happen. Emotionally and energy-wise, you just can't go there. But so disappointed there that we didn't have the frenzy, although we kind of expected it. But the positive is, I mean, our guys really rallied. The stop before the half, I thought, was critical. We finally got off the field there before the half. Because, you know, it was only like a three-possession game, I think, at half. Both teams, you know, they had that 120-play drive that ate up the whole first quarter. So getting off the field there, and then we started getting stops. We stopped the running game. We really started putting a lot more pressure on their quarterback, and I think we kind of warmed down there as the game went on. And like everybody's noted, you know, they go up 17-7. And then we outscore them 34-3 from there on out.
Yeah. What were your positives coming takeaways from the defense?
The fact that we started rallying to the ball and really running to the ball, getting pressure on the quarterback. We did stop the run there in the second half. The first half, the running back kept looking like he was falling for 2 or 3 yards. You know, they were getting 4 to 6 yards a clip on us. And I'm like, this, you know, this is not good. But we finally started slowing those guys down, getting some pressure on the quarterback. And I like the pressure we applied in the second half a little bit more defensively. You know, we came with some those same inside linebacker blitzes, some corner pressures, things like that. I kind of seen that trend maybe a little bit where we hold on to some stuff for the second half, which is a great move. I mean, I used to do it as a coach. You don't show too much too early because then they have an opportunity to prepare for it or adjust to it at halftime. So I thought, you know, we rushed four. We played, you know, five and a half to six in the box the first half. They posed a challenge because he was so good in the quick game that it spread us out so that we had to try to match their receivers, especially with underneath guys. So then they spread you out, and then they run the football. And then, you know, then they throw the quick game. And then all of a sudden they throw in a drop back pass every now and then. And you've seen so much quick game. Well, as a defensive lineman, you keep reacting to the quick game because now you're trying to stop your pass rush, get your hands up. That they had a great game plan. They're very multiple between quick game, between the run, between the drop back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I felt that... That was the case too. It felt like you never really had a firm grasp on what they were trying to do each and every down, even though they're somewhat limited because they didn't have the big pass play. You felt like whoever was calling that game for them did a really nice job of switching it up and getting things going.
Yeah. Yeah. And certainly their receivers were competitive. I mean, they're big, strong guys. And you know, the run after the catch they were hurting us there. Not only the yards after contact in the running game, but the yards after the catch was really hurting us in the first half. So, you know, I just don't think our energy matched their energy early. And it doesn't matter. They're human. You know, we put our pants on the same way they do. We've got to have energy. To be a great football team, we've got to have that utmost energy because we know everybody's going to be getting up for the horns.
Yeah, I completely agree. You and I, in the very first lunch with the coach this year, talked about Jalen Ford, zero tackles against ULM, right?
Yeah.
10 against Alabama. You know how many he finished with on Saturday night? 15.
Wow.
Led the team with tackles by 5. DeMarvian Overshone had 10, including some assists. But Jalen Ford, with 15 tackles. Still, I think that was more of an indicator. I don't know that Jalen had a unbelievable game as much as it was an indicator of just how much inside run that UTSA mm-hmm. was committed to. He mm-hmm. did have a couple of those tackles on special teams, four did, which I thought were particularly impressive. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about DeMarvian Overshown, because here's my take on that. I thought Overshown played okay, but he makes a pass in the third quarter when the game's still in doubt, right? Or in the fourth quarter, excuse me, when the game's still in doubt, Texas only up two scores. Mm-hmm. On second down and 7 or 8, he deflects a pass in the flat. That was just a great play. Really, he read it, he felt it, he made it. The very next play, delayed blitz. He came in, did a great job getting up, and then you think you're off the field, and the refs throw a targeting call on him. Now, mm-hmm. it wasn't the refs on the field. It came from it was a booth-initiated call. Mm-hmm. I personally thought this is ridiculous. And at the end of the game, they ended up saying it was against a defenseless player. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you make that phone or how you make that call at that point in the game. What were you thinking as you saw it? And really try to take us through maybe what a guy like Steve Sarkisian's thinking when he's seeing this happen in front of him. And frankly, it was just one of those calls that was just I think it's asinine. So how do you go through that?
I can't tell you what I was thinking. if you know what I mean. If I can't, I shouldn't verbalize what I was thinking at that time. Here's what I think now. That's the worst football call I've seen maybe ever in the game of football. We're trying to teach these kids how to tackle properly and how to play, keep their head up, don't lead with the crown of their head, don't launch, things like that. And DeMarvian Overshown did it exactly the way we want him to do it, exactly the way the NCAA wants you to do it, the NFL wants you to do it. He led with his face. It was face-to-face contact. He mauled him. What we used to say, we want to maul these guys. You almost come in with your chest and your face. It keeps your head from dropping down. It's a great tackling technique. And here's the thing that caught my attention more than anything. How did he get to the quarterback? He dipped and ripped and slipped by the center. So he's working low to high as he's ripping past that center with his left arm. And as he dips and rips, what your hips shoot, your hips extend. And when your hips shoot and your hips extend, what does your body do? It comes up. And then, boom, there's his quarterback right there, and he's face-to-face with him. There's nothing DeMarvian could have done. He made a great, great play. What's sickening is it wasn't called on the field. They reviewed in the booth. I'm like, this is a no-brainer. I mean, I'm like, we're off the field. We're getting the ball back. We're up 11. We get the ball back. We're going to go up 18, ball game. And then all of a sudden, the booth or whoever comes back and says, this is targeting. I'm still not over it. I mean, we're supposed to reward kids for playing the right way. And we're supposed to punish guys that lead with the crown of the helmet. And this is a bad message.
Yeah. I think that's kind of where I felt too. And you mentioned how it affected the game. UTSA then gets a fresh set of downs, takes it down to the 20 or so yard line of the Longhorns, and it's 4th and 1. And it looked like they were going to pop a little bubble screen there or a tunnel screen in on the inside and get an easy first down. The guy dropped it. Otherwise, that game would have been a one score game, simply because of a poor call on the field that was just ridiculous. The thing that I would ask, and this goes back to something that I want to tie it into that you discussed early with Inside Texas on our website, one of your very first articles, and you were talking about why you liked Steve Sarkisian as a coach. And, his demeanor, not only in that, but in other aspects of this team. I want Matt, our producer, to show some of the pregame and postgame stuff, and I want to have you comment on Sark's demeanor throughout it, Brian.
Okay.
This is pregame.
Yeah, that's, maybe even a little bit uncharacteristic for him, but he's so good of a coach. He knows what were we concerned about coming in the game? Energy, right? Our energy level. He might have sensed some of that. So he goes to a different place, and makes the guys a little bit uncomfortable and knows he needs to go to a different place as a head football coach at that particular time to try to just give us a little bit more juice. You know,
yeah, maybe this is post game. This is post game with a little Texas fight action. You've been in there for that before.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he dances a whole lot better than Mac Brown does.
That's a great line. Thanks, Matt. Our producer, Matt Hutchison, helping us out there. Brian, the one thing I wanted to say, though, at the same time, I wanted to bring that back to his demeanor with the refs at the point of that call. Because I think if I were the coach at that point, I would have lost it. Not unlike what Charlie Strong did, mm-hmm. right? Or what against Oklahoma State. Which then devolved into an additional penalty later, right?
Yeah.
Or what Tom Herman did by running onto the field against Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. Matt Campbell did it against Baylor, I think.
Yeah.
He didn't necessarily take it in stride, but he didn't like let the moment overwhelm him because he had mm-hmm. other things on his mind too. You know, that takes a little bit of some intestinal fortitude. I know some people said, oh, well, that's normal. That's what a coach does. That's the Tom Landry way, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
But you're a head coach. You've been there. You've had to argue with the officials. You've been the one responsible for it. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking as that is happening, yet knowing that you have some other critical challenges ahead of you the rest of the game?
Yeah, I'm from day one, like I've said, I'm impressed with his – ability to manage the team, manage the offense, and have poise under pressure. No matter how nasty and ugly things get, he's loyal. He's loyal to his players. He's loyal to the program. He knows he's the representative of our university, and he's got a standard he's got to uphold. He's talked a lot this week about standards now, you know, our fans and our defense and our offense. And he knows he's got a standard to uphold. No matter how upset he gets or how much he disagrees with the officials, he's got to stay above the line. And golly, he did a great job of it again last night, because it's not easy. I probably would have lost it. It was just the wrong message that we want to send to our players. And you can tell our defensive coaches are coaching it right. You see concerted efforts over and over and over. Our guys are keeping their heads up. They're not launching. They're not leading with their head. And it's absolutely the wrong message. Maybe those refs' only saving grace from getting crawled up one side and down the other from coach is it wasn't made on the field. That call was not made on the field, and it was made from the booth. So if he could have climbed up in the booth at that point in time or gone back to whatever studio they make that call from, he might have done that. But, I'm thoroughly impressed with Coach Sark and the way he handles everything and his poise.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing you mentioned too is he has not thrown the players under the bus. Even during the 5-7 season, he never was one to really push that there or on his coaches. He took it himself. Hey, speaking with Brian Irwin, former head football coach, two-time state championship coach of the Lamarck Cougars, talking with Lunch with the Coach. Lunch with the Coach is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Brian, you've been to Texas Tech before. The Longhorns head to Lubbock this coming week. Against UTSA, Texas won a game with its second string quarterback. Mm-hmm. Okay. Could be playing with Hudson Card again next week, going into, you know, hostile territory, so to speak. For the first time this year, Texas is going to be on the road. Initial thoughts on not only winning with your backup quarterback and the kind of fortitude it takes for a team to do that, but also heading to Lubbock, possibly with your backup quarterback too.
Very, very difficult place to play. I've been out there numerous times over the last few years. All three of my kids went to Texas Tech. We've been going to the Texas Tech game now for probably 8 years in a row, at least. We make it a family affair. Of course, it's me and my wife versus my three kids. But all I can say is Jones Stadium is a booger to play in. Their fans are incredible. The environment is incredible. They're going to be juiced up, jazzed up. and it's going to be a tough, tough road game. We're going to have to be very prepared. We're going to have way more energy than what we had this week. We're going to expect their best, and you know, hopefully we can get it done.
What does it mean to win with your backup quarterback?
I think it means a great deal. Other guys are stepping up. Roshan, Bijan, you know, Xavier, certain guys on the defense, you know, kickers, you know, snap holding kicks, punts. You know, our punters stepping up. I mean, we're punting the ball much better. We're field goal kicking, extra point kicking a lot, but it's every little inch. You know, you just gotta improve every single phase of the game. Every other individual steps up. You know, it's that next man up mentality to take up the slack for Card. So there's a lot of college football programs that would love to have Hutchin Card as their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I completely agree, because he's not necessarily. I mean, the thing I took away, one of the big things, is he protected the ball last night or on Saturday night. He no turnovers. And kept KU from having that kind of problem or compounding any problem when you're down 17-7. And Keelan Robinson had almost fumbled a kickoff, right? Mm-hmm. And then he leads him down there, makes a couple of nice throws, and then, of course, comes back and leads him to a score with Roshan Johnson kind of leading the way there. But long story short, I felt like Hutchin Card is playing the role of the backup quarterback, which is what Texas needed in that game. He played it. He wasn't spectacular, but he was a workmanlike performance, not unlike what he did against Alabama to some extent as well, finishing 15 of 23 against Alabama. He was 16 of 24. Mm-hmm. So you kind of know what you get with Hutchin Card, right? Yeah. And just being that is what a coach wants sometimes. They want to know what they can expect from you. Exactly. So they can dial it up that way. Speaking with Brian Irwin, Lunch with the Coach every Monday here on Texas Football. Brian also is a longtime InsideTexas.com member and subscriber, a guy that I've known for 25 plus years now, going back to our time together at the University of Texas. Brian, we appreciate your time on this Monday. I'm guessing you're going to Lubbock for this game.
I'm going to Lubbock. I'm going to be there. I'll be there Friday night, and we'll be there Saturday afternoon. So, Bobby, one more thing I wanted to say. I don't think it's a revelation, but this game against UTSA was huge. And it was a crisis moment there for a little bit. We go down 10, right? And this was a game. This is how far we've come as a program. This was a game that last year we would have won or lost in the closing minutes. We would have won or lost that game in the closing minutes of the game. But our guys stepped up. They bowed their neck. They came together. They showed that toughness, the strength conditioning, the culture, everything. And we go on a 34-3 run.
Against a guy against a team that won 12 games a year ago, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying that they're as good this year as they were last year. But 12-2 is 12-2. It doesn't matter what league you're playing in. They beat Louisiana Lafayette similarly early last year. But this was a little different. Louisiana Lafayette never had a 10-point lead on the Longhorns at all, or else that game could have turned out differently as well. All right, Brian, thank you so much for your time and appreciate your efforts here. Please join us also on InsideTexas.com. $1 for 1 month on Inside Texas. Join us if you're not already a subscriber. We would enjoy your input and contribution as well. For Brian Irwin, I'm Bobby Burton, and this has been Lunch with the Coach.